now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen's husband.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Susie, you're 10 times better than your husband.
Oh, God. Oh, can you just do me a favor and put that on a t-shirt?
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, plus Overreaction Monday, latest news, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show underway. Susie Schuster in for Rich today, tomorrow, and that means we clear out all the phone lines for win-loss. I know you guys all want to play it. I am here for you. We will take every one of your calls. For those of you who have been waiting for up to an hour, stick with us. We will get to you very soon. First, let's get to Tom Pelissero, who joins us first, right off the bat. Appreciate your time, as always, joining us, especially when Rich is out of the pocket. But I want to ask you first about Trevor Lawrence. Is he going to be the next $50 million guy? Oh, what's up with the backwards baseball hat today? You came very casual. I like this.
You know, I flew in from Minneapolis to Nashville for the league meeting that is kicking off here today. So this is the pre-get-myself-all-glossy and ready for the return of the insiders tonight on NFL Network, 7 p.m. Eastern.
You know, it's funny, Tom. If you were on a different show, we couldn't take you seriously because you have your hat backwards. You know, I'm just saying.
But I'm on this show where no one cares.
Exactly.
Which is very true. I mean, really, I was going to start talking about a quarterback with great hair, but you threw me when you came on and I saw the backwards look, which I think is very massholes.
It's always great. Just, you know, it's a little different. I can get it.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen it without like a half a pound of product in it.
Yep. Still looking good, though.
What not Rich would do for you, that head of hair? I mean, Rich would do anything for that head of hair.
I would be a movie star.
Wouldn't you just be so happy?
I wouldn't talk to you losers. I'd be a big time.
You'd be gone. I wouldn't talk to you, losers. But instead,
here he is. I ever heard Brockman talk. Ironically, it's about hair.
By the way, I think he just called you a loser. He wouldn't call me a loser because he doesn't want to take this on. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, you might want to think about that when you respond to Chris Brockman next time.
Sorry, Tom. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Love you guys. What's up to all the fellas in the studio? Hi, Susie. How are you?
We're calling this Hot Mess Monday because all of the guests went like a Kaiser Soze and went poof. So we're kind of just rolling with it today, except for you. You are the lone loyalist, even though Chris just called you a loser. Anyway, so.
Well, Chris called all of us losers.
Yeah.
If he had that hair, then we would be losers.
Right.
So, very Urban Meyer of him.
Thank you.
I have great hair.
Hey, at least I know your names. All right.
Wow.
I'm not kicking anybody.
Who did I kick?
Good point.
Urban Meyer kicked people.
Kicker. True story.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Let's not talk about
allegedly,
kickers.
For
Let's
sure.
not talk about kickers. All right. Hey, Tom. How are you? All right. So let's talk about Trevor Lawrence because we're going nowhere here fast. So is he going to get $50 million?
That's the target point for all these quarterbacks. Now you got Joe Burrow is making 55. You saw with the Jared Goff contract checked in at 52, 53, depending on how you slice those numbers. I think that with the way that the salary cap is going and the way that the marketplace has gone, there's no reason for any of the top quarterbacks who are coming up to think that they shouldn't be pushing that number. Now, Kirk Cousins, of course, got done back in March. That was $45 million per year. He's also 36 years old, coming off of a torn Achilles, and got really strong guarantees on that contract as well. With Trevor Lawrence, really the you know, the kind of equation that the Jaguars have to work out here. And it seems like their answer is it adds up for Trevor Lawrence is just the inconsistency in the play, the inconsistency of the team so far through the course of his career. He was the number one pick for a reason. He took the team to the playoffs a couple of years ago, has not played his best in certain games here down the stretch over the past couple of seasons. But there's only so many of these guys. There's never 32 of them in the NFL. Trevor Lawrence, along with Tua Tagovailoa, along with Jordan Love, that's kind of the next group here in terms of the young guys going into their second real contracts. I know Jordan Love did the Band-Aid one-year thing to replace the fifth-year option. But these are the guys who are the next ones up. And so, absolutely, the cap continues to rise, which is why – seems like the Lions are willing to give a record signing bonus to a guy like Jared Goff, push out a lot of those cap consequences into the future, say we're going to lock him up right now. And quite frankly, with some of the other names that are coming up in the coming years here, it does make sense for the Jaguars to get something done with Trevor Lawrence sooner than later if they're able to agree on exactly what that number should be.
Who's going to be the next huge conference, like the next huge contract that blows us all away?
I mean, I'd say it's Dak Prescott, whether that ends up being with the Cowboys or somebody else, because he, like Kirk Cousins last year and Kirk Cousins back in 2018, he's the rare franchise quarterback who, as of now, nothing's done. They could still work something out here at some point. But as of now, he's looking like he's going to hit unfettered free agency next March. And so by that point, the aiming point, well, could be the first $60 million quarterback. That all presumes that Dak Prescott continues to play at a high level. You know, no matter what you think of Dak Prescott, it's hard to make an argument that perennially he's not a top 10, top 8, maybe even top 6 quarterback in the NFL. And Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, for whatever reason, have had the philosophy in recent years here that they're going to always kick the can down the road on these contracts. And what that means is, yeah, you buy yourself more time. And if a guy falls off, if you have a Jalen Smith situation where you pay him and he doesn't play well and you got to cut him, you avoid that. But if the guy continues to play well, and if it's your core player, much less your quarterback in Dak Prescott, the price probably is just going to go up because that's where the marketplace is going to be. I mean, you got a line of guys right now. Justin Jefferson, too, is going to reset the market for non-quarterbacks at some point in the not-too-distant future. But, you know, him and the Vikings have been working on that for over a year, and they haven't been able to get to that point. CeeDee Lamb, certainly, Dak's teammates up for a big deal. Micah Parsons would be third in line in Dallas, but at some point here, he's going to be looking at a record type of a contract. And then, again, it goes back to those quarterbacks. And if you're the Dolphins with Tua, you know, the Packers with Jordan Love, what is that number? You know, Jordan Love doesn't have the track record as some of the other quarterbacks that have been taken up high. But if you look at him over the second half of last year, but for that interception, obviously, against San Francisco, he looks like he might be that next guy. You're just betting that those 8-10 games, whatever the number is what Jordan Love is going to be in the future if you're committing to him at a 50, 55, maybe higher type of a number, which certainly based on the Packers' organizational philosophy, based on how hard it is to find that guy and the amount of time they've put into developing Jordan Love, I absolutely anticipate that's another one that is going to find a way to get done.
Tom Pelissero joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. I just find the Dallas situation just confounding. And I know that we've seen them kick the can, like you said. We see that they could have done something. Jerry saying that they're going to do great things during the draft. Nothing happens, so to speak. But where do you think this ends up? As you mentioned, they've got three guys to pay, and you just can't pay everybody.
Well, I would say this. The Cowboys love Dak Prescott. They love CeeDee Lamb. They love Micah Parsons. And all along, when they didn't really do anything in free agency other than signing linebacker Eric Kendricks, who got cut by the Chargers, and bringing back Zeke Elliott, the thinking was we need to save the money to pay these three guys. It's pretty apparent just based on where they are in their contracts that Dak and CD are going to be the top priorities. I'm not saying they don't want to get something done with Micah, but he's entering year four. He is eligible for an extension now, but it sounds like Micah also understands that those other ones are a little bit more urgent here. But you're right. I mean, I think that people make a lot of everything that comes out of Jerry Jones' mouth and, you know, perhaps at times not taking into account the fact that Jerry just likes you to talk about the things that he says, whatever those might be. So when he says all in, what does he mean by that? We've spent like the past 3 months analyzing and hyper-analyzing those comments. The reality is they think they've got a good team. They think that they can be really good right now. I know they're really excited about the draft class that they were able to bring in. They were able to address some needs. They got several offensive linemen through the course of the draft, among other things that they did. They didn't draft a running back. That was in part because they thought that they had Zeke back. But you can retain your core. You know, I'm not in the salary cap is a myth, corner of things here, because it's not. Every year we see teams have to make hard decisions. But those hard decisions usually involve that next group of players. If you've got your core players, particularly young players, and your quarterbacks, you want to retain those guys. That's how you maintain a healthy program. And then once you pay your quarterback $55, $60 million a year, and you pay a wide receiver $30-plus million per year, you better keep drafting well, because that's your young, cheap workforce that's coming in. I do believe that the Cowboys, again, just based upon where they are with CD, where they are with Micah, I do believe that they're going to find ways to get those done. But when that happens remains to be seen. And with Dak, you know, the situation is different. With CD, you've got franchise tags you can apply. Micah's got a year and then his option and then franchise tags. Dak, you are 10 months away from Dak Prescott, your franchise quarterback, becoming an unrestricted free agent. They had to tag him a second time a few years ago because they needed to buy time for his new contract to process. So a third tag would be 144% of his cap number this year, which I believe is close to $60 million. It's such an astronomical number, they basically can't tag him again. And so Dak is going to be that rare franchise quarterback who becomes a true free agent. I mean, it's a pretty short list of guys you can think of that did that. Kirk Cousins has done it twice, back in 18 and then in 24. Tom Brady did it at the end. Drew Brees was a free agent for like a few seconds in 2018. The Vikings called on him before they signed Kirk Cousins that year, but he was never really going anywhere. With Dak, you know, every day that you get closer to him hitting free agency, just in my opinion, just knowing how the dynamics work and how the league views that position, I think you're getting a day closer to Dak if you're not able to get something done, not being a member of the Cowboys in 2025.
Tom Pelissero here on The Rich Eisen Show. Who won the schedule release?
The Chargers social media team, but they're on like a 5-year winning streak. There was some good stuff there. The social media teams, I think, always do a really good job. It's so hard to like process from the outside all 32 schedules. Usually the teams you're looking for, it's just, when are your hard games? When are your division games? If you're Pittsburgh, you're wondering, why are all our division games at the end of the season? If you're some of the teams like the Packers, who find out that you're going to Brazil in week one. Other than that, their schedule actually looks pretty good, but you're still talking about a really unusual type of cadence to the schedule. The Vikings have a really hard schedule out of the gate, just knowing that one off the top of my head, with an early international game, an early bye. In terms of who wins it and loses it, I mean, I'll say the Jets. How about that, Susie? I'll do that for Rich. I'll say the Jets won the schedule release because they have to be the worst team that a year later has the most primetime games. I mean, look at that schedule. You are going to see so much Jets, including that standalone game in week 5 over there in London against the Vikings.
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's so gross.
It's embarrassing. It's so why would they do that?
And then
why would the dude say, "Oh, well, they owe us one." Like, fool me once, it's your shame on me.
Like Aaron Rodgers came out and waved the flag and got hurt right away on purpose. Like, by the way, again, not a Jets fan, don't care about the Jets at all. Don't want to be with Rich when they come on the field. I said to him, also, you might want to go elsewhere to watch
Jets
the game.
Jets fans don't want to see their team half the year in primetime. Like, what are we doing?
I've already seen enough Jets.
Well, flip side, your Sundays, Susie, really opened up here, because Rich will be watching the Jets at night and on Mondays and on Thursdays. That one, yeah, the trip over, I'm guessing he's going to call that game in London in week 5, so you lose him for that. But no, I think that's it's a net positive. Listen, the goal of the NFL at its core is to make money. The biggest driver of making money is TV ratings, the TV packages, the media packages, all the different things that they sell now. The Jets, with Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers is on the field, which they spent a lot of resources this offseason trying to protect him, bringing in Tyron Smith and John Simpson, trading for Morgan Moses and drafting Olu Fashanu, that's all geared toward try to let Aaron Rodgers do what he was supposed to do a year ago. It's a redo for everybody. I'll be interested to see how it goes.
Where should the top free agents go? Who's left?
you know, we're really kind of down to it. I mean, the guys who are like the veterans, let's say the big names that are left out there, Ryan Tannehill sitting out there. At this point, I think that Tannehill probably is more likely to land in a Joe Flacco type situation a year ago where wait and see who gets hurt. Maybe somebody gets desperate. They offer you more money. There was interest in Tannehill early in the offseason, but he wasn't interested in coming in and being a, you know, a straight backup or not for much money. He'll sit and wait. We'll see if he ends up playing, but usually there's injuries and he'd be the top guy on that list. There's some running backs sitting out there. Dalvin Cook is one of them. You go back to a year ago when Dalvin was, you know, in the offseason when he got released by the Vikings, which was a little bit after this in the calendar, and then, you know, had different options, ends up with the Jets, disappears there, which had as much to do with Aaron Rodgers' injury, honestly, as anything else, because they couldn't run the ball. They abandoned the running the football, and Breece Hall rips off a whatever it was, a 70-yard run in week one, showed his ACL was okay, and they kind of went away from him. But Dalvin still, you know, he's in better shape because he's not coming off of surgery this time around. You know, Miami was the big rumor last year with Dalvin Cook. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami potentially is in the mix for him again this year. You got some older receivers, guys like Julio, Jarvis Landry, who had a trade or a workout rather back in rookie minicamps with the Jaguars. I think that, you know, somebody's going to sign Jarvis Landry at some point. He sat out last year, got his body right. You know, exactly where that is, I wouldn't be surprised if it's in Jacksonville at some point. Just hasn't come to fruition. And then you got guys like, you know, Shaquille Leonard sitting out there, Calais Campbell as well. Stephon Gilmore is a really interesting one because Gilmore, you know, he's in the later stages of his career, but he still was performing at a high level last year. That's another guy that's not back in Dallas. So could he resurface going there? I know there's been a lot of rumors about the Panthers. I don't know that at this point in his career, Stephon Gilmore wants to go into a total rebuild in Carolina. I mean, he's a potential Hall of Famer. He's a former Defensive Player of the Year. I would think, you know, a year after, remember, he basically wanted out in Indianapolis, so they traded him to Dallas because Indianapolis was starting over. I would think that, you know, a contender would make sense for him. So is that a late addition as Jerry goes all in on that Cowboys roster? Certainly a possibility.
And before we let you go, what's the storyline that we're not asking you about that you actually think is like the most interesting storyline in this quote unquote offseason?
Well, in the big picture, it's not a sexy football headline, but there's going to be some discussions here at the spring meeting about private equity investment in NFL teams, which, you know, you look at the way that franchise valuations have gone in recent years. The NFL has always had sort of a short list of here's the pre-approved potential owners and they can go to that. And they've always had rules in place that in essence, one person, you can have minority partners, but it's got to be one person who owns the team. That creates a very limited number of bidders. It's kind of like the media deals where for years they had three or four TV networks that would bid and you were kind of limited to what those networks were willing to pay. Well, now, why is the NFL selling to Amazon and to Netflix and whoever else they're going to, you know, come up with in the coming years here? Because all of a sudden you've got 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 different streaming services that all look at live sports as one of the only things that people will actually tune in and subscribe for. Let's figure it out. If we're Peacock, how do we put a game there? And how do we use that to our advantage? It's the same thing with the idea of private equity. If you only had a handful of these pre-approved singular owners who have the money to create the stability within the organization that the NFL has long wanted, now all of a sudden, if you've got private equity groups, you've got these, you know, high net individuals who can pool their resources together and invest in a team. That's a pretty good way to drive the valuations up because then you're talking about crazy money and it doesn't have to come from just one person. The drawbacks of that, like everything, when you talk about a private equity investment, is it does destabilize what's been a really successful system for the NFL. You're talking about bringing in a lot of different people. They've got a lot of other investments here. It's not the same system that it has been in the past. So, you know, there's probably going to be some owners who are forward thinking on this and just see how do we continue to skyrocket revenue and franchise valuations. The Jerry Joneses of the world, I haven't talked to Jerry, but I would imagine he's sitting there going, we can take the franchise valuations from 5 to 7 billion to 15 to 20 billion just by doing this. Why in the world would we not do that? And you're going to have some other owners, the ones whose families own the team for years, who have always abided by these fairly strict guidelines here, are going to say, whoa, 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 we're prioritizing the wrong thing. So an interesting conversation that's going to take place here at the league meeting. And we'll see what else takes place in the coming days. We'll have it all again, Susie. The Insiders back in primetime, 7 p.m. Eastern time every weeknight, starting tonight.
Fantastic plug.
Wait, Tom, real quick about the private equity and ownership shares and all that. Is anyone in the league, whether they're on the team side or on the reporter side, are you guys talking about what's going on with the Timberwolves and Glenn Taylor and A-Rod and Mark Lurie? Is that something that you could see possibly happening with an NFL team in the future? Where there's just confusion and almost like a take back seize on a sale.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, there's a lot of layers to that one. But
sure.
Part of it is, you know, yeah, Glenn Taylor looks and says, well, the franchise valuations have gone way up. You were getting a sweetheart deal. I don't want to do that. But it was also, at least in Glenn Taylor's telling of this, that they had all these different private equity partners, all these different financiers. They didn't have the money when Glenn says that they were supposed to pay it. A-Rod and Mark Lurie claim that they did. They just, you know, they had moving deadlines and all this stuff. But that's exactly the type of confusion here. I mean, right now, you know who owns teams. Like, if you go down the NFL, even right. If you're not thinking off the top of your head, you probably know who owns most of the teams. All of a sudden, then, if it's this conglomerate owns the team, and then, oh, yeah, some other businesses that are involved with that conglomerate go south, and now what happens to the teams? I mean, these rules were created at a time where the NFL was not the $20 billion a year industry that it is now, but it was all created that you didn't want to have all these other people involved. You had to have one person who owned X percentage of the team to make sure that person had the financial backing, that there was no chance the team was going to go out of business. No NFL team is going to go out of business, but if you have other financial challenges and if you have some of the issues that other industries have experienced with private equity, including the media industry, where at some point you have high net worth individuals who are used to getting dividends and getting paid out off the investment. That's not how the NFL works. Right. You eventually get paid back. You either sell your shares or you get paid when the team gets sold, which might be years and years down the line. It will just introduce different dynamics than the NFL has seen before. And absolutely, if you're an owner who wants to push back, if you're Mike Brown, who votes no on pretty much everything in the world, you can point to the Timberwolves situation and go, this is exactly what we don't want to have here. Although I do appreciate the chutzpah of Alex Rodriguez to continue to show up front row, courtside seats, cheering on the team. And
well, he does own like 31% of the team or something, right?
I mean,
he's still entitled to do that. Yeah,
he does. But there was a very awkward moment of a hug after the game last night on the court. I don't know if you saw it or not. We'll have to find the video. There was a moment they were like, oh, God, is Anthony Edwards actually wanting to hug him back or not? It was a little icky. I'm not going to lie. It was a little icky. All right. Last question. Tom Brady, is this finally the week that he becomes an owner?
That has been something that I think every meeting, Susie, for about the past 14 months, we've all heard, okay, this is potentially going to be the meeting. The simple answer is, I don't know. As far as I am aware, based on what I've seen, I don't believe that there is a active voting item on Tom Brady becoming a Raiders owner. But there's also these, you know, one per club sessions where it's just the lead owner who's involved. Those are private. There is no agenda that is sent to anybody else. And based on the complexities with Tom Brady and the Raiders in terms of what's the fair sale price for a percentage of the team, which affects the valuation, which affects everybody else's valuations. There's also the working for Fox. It's a broadcast partner. Is he going to be in production meetings with with Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers when he's a part owner of the Raiders? There's different layers to it. So it's entirely possible this is something that is addressed in the one per club session. Will we actually get a resolution? I can't even place a bet on that, not just because I'm prohibited from placing bets on these things, but also because we've heard it every meeting for so long and it hasn't gotten done yet, just because it is really complicated.
And then when he comes back in like week 7 and he gets stressed and takes the field, how will that affect his ownership, right?
But he's not allowed to. That's the other thing. You're not allowed to have any employee, including players, own equity in teams. So yeah, all of a sudden there's injuries in Las Vegas and he wants to play, or there's some other team that tries to talk about it. Like there's so much going on here that, the owners have been trying to wrap their heads around it. I would say there are some teams, and I've talked to them, that are vehemently opposed to Tom Brady being an equity partner, being a part owner of a team, and broadcasting games. They simply don't want to have it. They're not going to let him into production meetings. They don't want somebody on talking about their team who's an owner of another team. There are some teams that have taken a real hard line saying, we are not going to vote for this no matter what. So you're trying to figure out, is there a way that you can navigate this thing forward and make everybody, at least 24 of the owners, happy
enough? But like owner of the team, he's going to own like a half a percent.
But it is a crazy conflict of interest, though, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of, it is an insane conflict of interest.
I would say probably not, though. I mean, he's a guy, like, he has no say on anything that relates to day-to-day about the Raiders.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. He's Tom Brady. He just has to call up and say, oh, hey, it's Tom Brady. Right, I know everything. So here's what I want to tell you about. I don't think he would. I think he has high morals. And I know, okay, I just opened myself up for everybody who hates the Patriots to say, like, what are you talking about when it comes to decisions?
But you really think Tom Brady, who owns a half a percent or whatever it is, Tom, it's super low, I imagine, he's going to hear something at a production meeting and call Mark Davis or Antonio Pierce and be like, hey, here's what I just heard?
I would think not, just because I think that would be a pretty quick way to get yourself banned from everything.
Right.
It's more so just the appearances that you have people who own parts of teams being employed by broadcast networks and talking about the other teams. I mean, think about this, like just the tampering element of it alone. So Tom Brady's on the broadcast talking about some pending free agent boy going, boy, Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. if I were an owner, I'd love to have him on my team. And then lo and behold, Dak signs with the Raiders in March. Again, this stuff all happens. We know it happens. It just doesn't normally happen right in front of your face. That's something that some teams are going to have to be convinced of, that you don't have a slippery slope here in terms of people who are involved with broadcasts owning teams.
Yeah, that'd be like, I wish Dak Prescott would think about texting me at 555-222 exactly. I mean, it's not going to happen. Tom, thanks again for your time. Have fun this week, and we'll see you with the backwards hat rocking very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Susie.
Appreciate it. Rich would do anything for that head of hair. He would just, he would never put a hat on.
I think I would leave my family if I had hair like that. Yeah.
What would you do? What would you do? You'd head to Vegas. You'd head to Vegas anyway.
If I had hair like that,
yeah.
Again, I
would you ever cover it?
You wouldn't see me tomorrow. No. Shirtless,
loud and proud.
Shirtless, just out.
You'd Burt Kreischer.
Slick it back. It'd be unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd buy billboards of myself and put them in every city in America.
There's one available on the 105. I saw it on the way
Done.
In today.
Done. And let's do it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Tom, Matt the Barber, Jason, the rest of you, we are clearing the phone lines because I keep my word when I sit here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. He'll be back on Wednesday. And when I sit in this chair, I like to keep my relationship with the viewers and listeners clean. When you guys call in, you take the time, I'm going to get you on because that is how I roll. So here we go. Win-loss. We're going to start with Tom in Wilmington, Delaware. Chargers win-loss game. Chris, can you read across this one?
I got it. Oh, well, I had to get. Hold on. This is my first experience with the new grid this year.
It's laminated.
Okay.
TJ, who did that?
I mean, who else if not me?
TJ Jefferson, Tom, the color commentator Tom of the Wilmington. Rich Eisen Show.
PA.
Yeah. Took it and hey man, no, you're not a PA, you're the color commentator. How are you? Yeah. Thank you so much for sitting with us and taking your time this morning, Tom.
I've been
appreciate
to Wilmington.
It.
What's up?
All right, I do want to say that even though I'm from Wilmington, I am a 50-year fan of the Chargers, and I want to preface my picks by saying I think they're going to have an identity right away, but they're going to struggle with consistency given the complete overhaul of their coaching staff.
But are
so
you
give it to me, Chris?
But are you so fired up about Harbaugh? Like, do you wake up every morning feeling better about yourself because Harbaugh is on your wall?
I mean, I've experienced all the ups and the so many losses and all the creative ways to lose. Yeah. So Harbaugh feels like, you know, something truly different in the scheme of things.
You don't often hear a Chargers fan with the Delaware accent, right, Chris?
No, never. Tom, I spent a lot of time in Rehoboth. Let's do this.
I even have a couple Chargers tattoos.
Look at you. Week one, home for the Raiders. I need to, Jay Fowley, we need music. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Loss? Loss? Week one, loss?
Loss.
At Carolina, week two.
Win.
At Pittsburgh, week three.
Loss.
Home for Kansas City, week four.
Unfortunately, a loss.
Ooh, 1-3 start for Harbaugh. Week five, you're going to beat the hell out of the bye week. Week six at Arizona, Monday Night Football.
Didn't you miss the Broncos?
Oh, yeah. Week six at Denver.
God.
Wake up, Brockman.
Let's go.
I'm trying to read this grid.
There's a screen right in front of you.
Yeah. It's way too small. At Arizona, Monday Night Football, week seven.
Loss.
Home for New Orleans, week eight.
A win.
At Cleveland, week nine.
I vacillated on this one. I wanted to be a win, but it's a loss.
Home for Tennessee.
A win.
Home for the Bengals.
A loss.
Ooh. Home for Monday Night Football against the Ravens.
And finishing out a complete sweep by the AFC North, a loss.
Ooh. At Atlanta.
A big win.
At Kansas City, Sunday Night Football.
An even bigger win.
Ooh, yeah, here we go. Tampa, home for the Bucs.
They're nothing after Kansas City. That's a win.
Home for Denver.
A win.
Oh, we are cruising.
We're sweeping the Broncos.
I'm just going to even. You don't even have to say it. You're going to beat the Patriots. Finish it up. Week 18 at the Raiders.
They're going to finish off with another win. Hottest team in football coming in.
Six in a row. Oh, baby. So what do we got, Juan? 10-7?
Wow.
10-7.
10-7 charge. Is that good enough to make the playoffs, Tom?
I think it is. I think we get in seed 7 or 8.
Let's see where the chips fall. 7, if you're the 8 seed, you're going to be out. I'd hate to break it to you.
Oh, that's right. 7 seed. I'm sorry.
6 or 7 seed. Well, all right. Chargers playoffs for Tom. Love it.
Harbaugh Nation every single day. Tom, thanks for the time. Appreciate you holding on for
fantastic.
Us.
Fantastic. Thank you, Susie. Take care. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, brother. Be
it's
well.
It's our pleasure. All right, Jason in New Mexico.
Enjoy the first state.
Let's go some Vikings win-loss game for you.
Depend
Do you
yourself?
Want me to read
Why?
This because Brockman's kind of not being able to read today?
Well, hold
you
on
want
a
me
second.
To get you through
hold
this,
on a
Jason?
Second. No, I got. No, Jason, you pick. Do you want me or Susie?
I've never been watching this show. First time caller. So excited. Chris Brockman is my hero.
Thank you, buddy.
And is on point all the time.
Sorry,
and TJ
Susie.
Needs to speak up more because he's got a great voice, and I love when Susie's hosting. The team is just on point. So I love it. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks.
Thank
We're
you,
thrilled
Jason,
to have you on,
know,
Jason.
I just comment right now.
You are the color commentator.
The color commentator of the Rich Eisen show.
Jason, I know you think Brockman's great and all, but who do you want to read your win-loss?
That's true.
Well, I would like to have Susie, since Brockman seemed like he stumbled for the first time in a while.
Come on.
Hot mess Monday.
Jason, I'm on 2 hours sleep. Flight delays from Atlanta yesterday. Like, it's not my fault.
It's not your fault. Let's go. Either one is good with me. I'm good to
Susie,
go.
You yeah, read but, it. You read it. I'll record it.
Yeah, but it's like anybody who chooses that. And now I'm going to look for this. Okay, so Minnesota. Here we go. Ready? Week one at the New York Giants.
Win.
San Francisco week two.
Loss.
Houston week three.
Loss.
At Green Bay week four.
Loss.
New York Jets week five.
Oh, Rich, we're winning that one.
Yeah, you are. The Jets suck. Bye week. Okay. week seven, Detroit.
Win.
Ooh.
Barely.
Week Ooh. Eight at the Rams.
We are going to win.
Week nine, Indianapolis.
We are going to win.
Week 10 at Jacksonville.
We are going to win.
Week 11 at Tennessee. What? What?
He's heating up.
He's heating up. Yeah, at Tennessee, week 11.
Win.
That's six in a row.
Ooh, with the new quarterback.
Wait, who
Chicago.
Is your quarterback? Is it Darnold or J.J. McCarthy?
Oh, it's McCarthy, baby. Come on.
Yeah, it is. Of course
wait,
it is.
From
all
week
he does is win.
Wait, from week one, or does he come in, after you start 1-3?
I hopefully after we start 1-3, but probably knowing Minnesota, he's going to start week one.
All right.
He's fantastic. He's going to be great. Week 12 at Chicago, could it be rookie quarterback on rookie quarterback?
Yeah, we're going to lose that one.
What? Really? Why? Come on.
Yeah, I think the Bears, I think their offense is just stacked with wide receivers. I think that their quarterback's going to be sick. And we don't play well in our division at their
That's
location.
That's true. So. That is true. Week 13 is at
Arizona.
Or it's Arizona.
We're going to barely win that one. I'm a huge fan of Harrison Jr.
This is hard to read. You're not wrong.
Thank you. But take 14. Back what you said about me before.
No. Week 14, Atlanta.
Oh, we're going to win that one. Cousins going to go crying. He's going to get benched. And then they're going to have to.
He's going to get benched. Hold on. I got to make a mental note that you said Cousins benched in this game.
And Susie, yep. Rich reads out of the booklet there, the laminate, the booklet to your right.
Right.
You pick that up. That's where it's easier to read the schedule and the breakdown.
If and then he puts the name. He puts people's names at the top.
Oh.
So just grab that.
See, we're amateurs.
Yeah,
Rich
but
I'm halfway
through, and I'm stressed. I want to deliver.
Back into my role here.
We're going to figure this out.
Thank you, TJ. Week 15, Chicago.
We're going to win that one.
See, there you go. Week 16 at Seattle.
We're going to lose that one.
Week 17, Green Bay.
We're going to win that one.
Okay, big finale at Detroit, week 18.
We're going to win that one to get in the playoffs.
Okay, what do we
wait,
have?
Hold on a second. You just said to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're going to lose that one.
All right, hold on a second. You're going to lose that one?
12-5. It's 11-6.
So you're 11-6. Jason, how are you a Vikings fan in New Mexico?
This is a very good story. My father was 9 years old, 1986. They played the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and my dad's a huge, we're Mexican, so he's a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. And I picked the purple team. One, I was 9 years old, and it's been misery ever since. But
I love it.
I'm loyal.
I picked the purple team.
That's a great story.
Amazing. Love you, buddy. Thanks for being a fan
like
of the
show. I liked the Orioles for 5 minutes when I was little because I liked their logo.
You like the Orioles for 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'm just
minutes.
Saying. I can't read. This is stressful. I can't look at this one. Okay, let's move on.
Do you want to let me do it?
No, I was better than you were.
I got a question for you.
Don't know about that.
Yes.
Did the fountain change colors behind you since the beginning of the show? That's why I missed the music.
You're staring at the fountain through the screen? Like, what is doing?
Yeah, you're right.
It changed colors.
It's like Viking purple.
I didn't know whether you noticed that they've been working out there or not. Or maybe my hair just looked really good today. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it one or the other?
Both.
Yeah, okay. All. Bald. Thank you, Felly. This is so fun. Let's keep going with these.
Let's take a break and we'll do more after the break.
Fine. Matt the Barber, go to Haley Coffee. Get a coffee or go to the Wicked Spud. We're going to take you to because we haven't really talked enough basketball on like the East Coast side.
Well,
so.
Matt, he's going to talk smack about Tatum and I'm not here for
it. It's okay.
Because he's wrong.
Go to the Wicked Spud. Get a little lunch. Stand by. We're going to come to you soon. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got to take a bunch of guys. I love this. Let's get these calls in.
Win-loss game. Let's go.
Win-loss.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. More win-loss in a moment. But first, Derrick Henry showed up at Ravens training camp. And it's good to see him at practice, walking in, looking ready to go. How about him in the purple, guys?
Jeez.
Look at that.
This is just not going to be fair.
It's going to be
TJ, how much are you going to spend on Henry in fantasy this fall? You want him? Is he a target?
I think in this offense, yes. So I go up to about 20.
Do you think he has? Did I ask this in a what's more likely?
I don't
think. Does he have more touchdowns or do the Ravens have more wins this year?
Did you ask that? Because now all of a sudden it sounds familiar. More
I
touchdowns.
Feel like I did.
He's going to score about 13, 14 touchdowns, I think. So I'd probably say he's going to have more touchdowns.
Wow.
You all right over there? Did you come back with some mung from your celebrity golf tournament?
I got to say, first off, shout out Kevin Rahm and the Rahm Charity Golf Tournament raised $2.04 million for St. Jude over the weekend.
Amazing.
A tremendous
Fantastic.
Event at TPC Sawgrass. And shout out me and my teammates.
Shout out me.
Bob, Danny, Gordon, and Shane. We came in second in the golf tournament over the weekend.
Congrats, man.
We played phenomenally at the two courses. Couldn't have been more fun. Love going to that event. Can't wait to go back next year.
That was the co-host.
Congratulations.
Chris Brockman. With your smug shot.
That's why he got invited.
Yeah. Well, he was an actor, but now he's a co-host. I'm not sure if you're aware
of that.
Is that
an upgrade or a downgrade?
It depends on what business you want to be in, my friend.
Doesn't matter. I'm feeling a lot of tone.
There's no tone.
Oh, there was tone, Chris.
Was there tone?
Well, I mean, maybe not now. There was tone.
Well, yeah, we chewed you up pretty good on Friday, but that was
for what reason? You just being haters?
Because. Right. Just because. All right, let's do a little bit of more win-loss. Can we go with, let's
what do you
see.
Want to do? You want to do
Tom?
Dolphins or Jets?
Let's go Tom in New York.
Tom. Pelissero?
Tom Brady?
Hey. Hello?
Tom, what's up, brother? Are you Pelissero or Brady?
Both.
Great answer. All right,
hey,
music,
wait,
please.
Tom,
music,
do you have better hair than either of them? Because we'll be pretty jealous.
Both.
Atta boy. All right, music, please. Week one. Let's go with music. We got
Jets,
this, Felly.
Week one. Are you doing it or am I?
I'm doing it.
Okay.
You just write
Let's
it down.
Go. Stop yelling.
You just look pretty over there. All right, week Aww. One at San Francisco.
Lots.
Ooh, it took some time there, Tom.
It's realistic.
At Tennessee,
least.
Week two.
Win.
At New England, week three.
Win.
Week four at Denver.
Win.
Week five in Minnesota. Or Minnesota at home.
Lost.
Oh, that's in London,
ooh,
isn't it? That's
ooh.
In London.
Is that a London game?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, so maybe win.
Wait, which is it?
I'll go with win.
All right. Hold on. Amend it. All right. They've won four in a row.
Buffalo, week six.
Monday Night Football.
Lost.
At Pittsburgh, week seven.
Sunday Night Football.
Win.
At New England, week eight.
Win again.
Houston, week nine.
Thursday Loss. Night Football. Loss?
Yeah, loss.
At Arizona.
Loss. Win.
All right, week 11, Indy.
Win.
Week 12 is the bye. Week 13, Seattle.
Win.
At Miami, week Ooh. 14.
Lost.
All right. At Jacksonville, week 15.
Win.
Okay, at the Rams, week 16. We will be there.
Loss.
At Buffalo, week 17. That's a loss, right?
Yeah, that's a definite.
Yeah.
Ooh, so Miami, you lost both the Buffalo this year, right?
Yeah.
They're better. Week 18, Miami.
Unfortunately. They're going to win this one.
Chris, do the math.
11-6?
Sounds about right to me.
I think it's 12-5.
Well, no, he switched week 5 to a win.
Yeah.
I got 11-6.
All right. I went to a school with no math requirement.
Tom, is that going to win the NFC East? AFC East? Is that going to win the division?
I think so.
All right. Wins division. I'm making note of that.
Tom, thanks for your time. Really appreciate you holding on.
Thanks, Tom. Be good. Be good. Be good, brother.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
By the way, it takes two of us to do the job that Rich does. Don't tell him that.
I mean, I was doing it, and then you took it over.
I tend to do that. You want to do the next one? Okay, Steve in Austin, Texas for the Texans. Would you like me to do it, or would you like Chris to do it?
Steve.
Let's go with Susie.
How about TJ?
What about TJ?
You guys do it. Don't worry about it.
TJ Jefferson, color commentator. You take over.
You read the elimination.
Go, TJ. Go.
He asked for the music. You got it.
Steve, would you like TJ or me to do it?
Go with Susie, Steve.
All right, let's go with Susie.
Yeah, I know.
Is this Stone Cold Steve in Austin, Texas?
Oh, that wouldn't make sense, right? And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, but now I have to look and see where they're here. Okay, ready to go. Okay, I got it.
At Indianapolis, week one.
I got this. Back off. At Indianapolis, week one. What do you got?
We got to win.
At Chicago at home, week two.
Sunday night football.
We're going to welcome Caleb Williams to the league with a win.
Okay, at Minneapolis, week three.
That's a win.
Jacksonville, week four.
I'm going to take the dub on that one.
Ooh. Buffalo, week five.
4-0.
Ooh, this is going to be a tough one. I'm going to go with the win, though, since we're at home.
5-0.
Let me tell you, it's not tough. Week six at New England.
You don't even have to say it, Steve. We'll write it in.
Week seven at Green Bay.
We're going to drop the Green Bay game.
Oh,
wow.
6-0 drops their first game.
Week eight, Indianapolis.
We're going to split it with the Colts, so we're going to lose that one at home.
Ooh, okay. Losing two straight.
Interesting. Week 9 at the Jets.
Thursday night football.
We're going to win that one.
Week 10, Detroit.
Sunday night football.
That is a loss.
Ooh.
Week 11 Struggled. At Dallas.
Lost 3 out of 4.
We are going to win.
Week 12, Tennessee.
Win.
Week 13 at Jacksonville.
That's a win.
All right, a bye week 15, Miami.
Off the bye, we're going to beat the Dolphins at home.
Week 16 at KC.
Saturday game.
Saturday in December at Arrowhead, we're going to lose that one.
Okay, week 17.
Christmas Day, Baltimore, and it's a Wednesday game.
Wow, it's crazy.
I'm going to go. that's a loss, unfortunately. They have our number right now.
Week 18 at Tennessee.
We're going to finish it off with a win.
12-5.
That obviously wins the South. Is that good enough for the one seed in the AFC, Steve?
No. Well, no.
No one seed. All right, I'm just making notes of these.
Make your notes.
Thank you. I like that. That's a strong team. Houston goes 12-5. We're going to be talking about them as Super Bowl contenders.
Yep.
Steve, thanks for your time. Appreciate the call in.
Be good, brother.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, please. Our pleasure. All TJ, right, so you got to do the next one. We're not going to ask whether they want anybody else to do it, although when they say that they want me to do it, well, you know.
If they want you, then you got it.
You are the color commentator.
Give the people what they want.
That's true, but you are the official color commentator.
We've done five so far. Who's been the most realistic? Bears, Chargers, Vikings, Jets, Texans.
What do you got, Chris?
I'm asking you guys. I'm the one asking the questions.
Well, I don't listen. I just write things down.
TJ?
I wasn't paying attention.
Offer some color commentary.
You guys are killing me. The Minnesota guy was, 11-6?
Yeah, he had 11-6 Vikings.
I don't hate that for them, to be completely honest with you.
The Vikings winning 11 games? I'll be stunned.
Also that he had J.J. McCarthy coming in after a couple losses. I kind of I like what he's saying out there. Much it's more win-loss offense, on the Rich Eisen Show in hour number three. Let's take Matt the Barber from Haley, Idaho. Do you go to Haley Coffee Company?
Oh, yeah. I go to Haley Coffee Company out here. And I love the Wicked Spud. Best fries in the valley. Also give a little shout out to Powerhouse. They have some good tacos out there.
Haley Coffee is my all-time favorite. I actually get it sent in here because it's the greatest stuff ever from the Needery up in Sun Valley. All right, Tatum really doesn't elevate his game. Is that what you're upset about?
Yeah, no, it's more of a at the end of the last hour, Brockman had a question about, you know, what's up with all this hate on Tatum. I don't think it's hate. I think it's disappointment. Shaquille O'Neal always says to be a champion, you got to raise your game. In the playoffs, the past three seasons, Tatum's scoring has went down in the playoffs. If you look at Jokic last year, he increased his scoring by 5.5 points. Tatum this year, he's down 2.6 points per game.
Yep.
Last year, 2.9 points per game. So I don't think it's necessarily hate. I think it's more of Tatum being a disappointment in the playoffs. You know, for the Celtics to take that next step, he's going to need to increase his scoring and lead his team. And he has an opportunity to prove us wrong going through the East and potentially seeing Luka or Ant.
All right, Matt, I was ready to hate on you because I was just reading your comment and the thing, but you're actually right.
Matt, thanks again for your time. We appreciate it. More win-loss when we come back for the third hour of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We are going to empty the phone banks right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.